I'm Kevin Ostey, and on this episode of V8 Radio, we're talking with author Colin Comer about his new book entitled Shelby Mustang 50 Years. And Colin is an aficionado and an expert in the Shelby Mustang and Cobra arena. And he's also a classic car restorer and race car driver and an all-around sports car hero. So he's really into the scene of the Shelby world. And we talked to him at the recent Muscle Car Corvette Nationals show in Chicago to learn about what makes his new book different from some of the other Shelby books that are out there. This episode of V8 Radio is brought to you by ARP. If you want your engine to stay together, you want to use ARP fasteners.
ARP, the ultimate fasteners, available for your entire car. Build complete race cars, customs, and bikes with ARP. 25% stronger than grade 8 hardware. Race car strength and show car looks at ARP-bolts.com.
As you know, there's a lot to learn about muscle cars and stuff to figure out and facts to check. And there's a lot of new books that are out that provide great resource material to find some of this stuff. And I'm here with Colin Comer, and you just finished a new book about Shelby's.
I did. I just finished Shelby Mustang 50 Years, which, as the name would imply, is a celebration for the 50th anniversary of the Shelby Mustangs.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. As an enthusiast, there's a lot of Shelby books out there already.
Right.
So I think it took something to want to do another one, and what did you bring to the table this time?
Well, I did Shelby Cobra 50 Years for the 50th anniversary of the Cobra. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I wanted it to be like a high school yearbook, you know, memories from people that were there and the people that are keeping the dream alive today. So interviews with important Shelby people, guys who have owned the cars since new, not so much the nuts and bolts and the technical aspects of the cars themselves, but mm-hmm. the story of the kind of the Cobra cult, if you will. So I wanted that for the Shelby Mustangs. Interviews with Peter Brock, who designed, you know, the famous Le Mans stripes on the cars, you know, did the advertising. Chuck Cantwell, who is the project engineer for the cars. All the guys that kind of made the car happen. Lee Iacocca did the foreword. If it wasn't for Lee Iacocca, there wouldn't be a Shelby Mustang. So just really the stories behind and surrounding the cars, and every Shelby Mustang from 1965 to 2014 is in there.
That is phenomenal, because I know from experience that the Shelby crowd and that group of enthusiasts, they live for this stuff. They want to know everything that there is to know about these cars.
Right.
And if, you know, what you've really been able to do is talk to the people, talk to the sources directly.
Yeah, which is really cool for me because I grew up, you know, just infatuated with Shelby Mustangs. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have a book that I have to write and have an excuse to call up Peter Brock and say, hey, you know, can I talk to you for 2 hours about Mustangs?
Yeah.
You know, they almost feel compelled to do it. They take yeah. pity on you. So,
yeah, right.
But the interesting phenomenon that I found in these cars is there's a lot of younger guys buying new Shelby Mustangs. I mean, you buy 662 horsepower off the showroom floor, you're going to sell a lot of cars. So, mm-hmm. so there's younger guys buying new 2014 GT500 who then start digging into the history about Shelbys, and they realize that, hey, from 65 to 70, they made some really cool cars too, mm-hmm. and they want to learn about the earlier cars. So not only do they learn about the cars, but you get to learn about the people that made them and made it happen.
And and all of a sudden they realize they're part of something bigger.
Right. Then they go out and buy a 67 GT500 to go with their 2014,
yeah.
and they fall in love with the old cars.
Yeah. Well, I know, again, that if you tell a story that isn't fully vetted, you get skewered.
Right.
So it's truly amazing to be able to go to the people that were there and bring this stuff out. This isn't hearsay. This is the real stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to play telephone when we're writing a book about cars. You have to, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's.
So, absolutely.
I mean, getting immersed, you know, in the information, but also there's a lot of misinformation out there, and you don't want to do that.
Right. At least not intentionally.
Not intentionally, right. Nobody's perfect,
right.
but we try to get it as close to perfect as possible.
Yeah. Now, you hit on a really cool point about the new cars, and just, I don't know, this past week mm-hmm. was the new GT350 released?
Yeah. November 17th.
Yeah.
I'm getting a tattoo. No, the new GT350 now, Ford has taken it back. They are now building the GT350s rather than Shelby American building in Las Vegas, because what they were doing was Shelby American was building a post-title GT350 conversion, and Ford has decided we can make a really special car by building it in-house and bring GT350 back to Ford. So it's a completely different car. It's 5.2 liter flat plane crank. You know, they haven't announced final horsepower numbers yet, but somewhere in the mid 500s, 400 and some foot pounds of torque. It's a wide body car. It's just, and it's gonna, the price point is gonna be so attractive. Not that I don't like Chevys, I love Camaros and all that, but the Z28 better run and hide. I think there's a lot of 911 turbos that better run and hide too.
Well, what I think was pretty interesting is when I first started seeing the release notes on the new car, there was some responses in social media and things where people were kind of downplaying the horsepower predictions because it wasn't a supercharged car and it wasn't all this stuff. But what I noticed, and maybe I'm wrong, this parallels the early ones much closer.
Yes.
Because the earlier cars were small block, they weren't superly overpowered. It was just an incredibly well thought out package.
It's a sports car.
Yeah.
It's a performance car, and it's also, Ford is very smart as far as their performance program and trying to get the worldwide market. So you can't sell a big displacement muscle car in a lot of places in Europe. I mean, you get tax and displacement. The fuel economy is important. To have a small displacement, high revving, naturally aspirated car, I mean, they're not targeting Z28s and Hellcat Challengers. They're targeting 911s and BMW M4s and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a total performance package.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny too, because that's who Carroll was racing against way back then.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea. And have you heard the car?
I heard the clip online. I haven't heard it with my own ears, but it's incredible.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. So it's going to be, and you know, like I said, they thought out a lot of the stuff. Like, there's no carbon brake disc because they wanted the end user to be able to afford to have a brake job.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want to have a guy go and have a $15,000 brake job on a Ford.
Yeah.
So they made a performance car that's not gonna eat your wallet after you buy it too.
Very
so
cool.
It's a neat time to be a performance car guy and to be a Ford guy.
Oh yeah. So real quick, what was one of your favorite experiences in doing the new book?
Well, hands down, it's probably Chuck Cantwell, you know, the project engineer. He's been a friend of mine for years, one of the best guys you ever meet in your life. And he was a very accomplished sports car racer, and he worked at GM Design with Pete Brock. I mean, a lot of the guys don't know the early history on Chuck. But we spent literally over the course of 2 or 3 days, we probably spent 4 or 5 hours on the phone doing an interview. That's my favorite part of the book. There's great stories in there about him and Ken Miles flying out to the desert to test new GT350s. You know,
awesome.
I won't spoil it for you, but it ends in them taxiing a damaged airplane down the LA freeway. So,
well, that's a heck of a tease.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, Colin, I really appreciate the time. Congratulations on the book.
Over. Thank you.
And all of your books.
Well, thanks.
And,
appreciate it.
We look forward to spreading the word and getting them out there.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Don't forget you can swing by V8Radio.com and order your own copy of Colin's new book. We've got them for sale right there on the website. Thanks for listening to this episode of V8 Radio. You know, you can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes, or you can go to our website at V8Radio.com and click the subscribe link there, and you'll never miss an episode of V8 Radio. I'm Kevin Oostie, and we'll talk to you next time on V8 Radio.